My title tonight, The Lord is Peace. Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is Peace. I will be speaking to you from Judges chapter 6. We've been doing a series in Judges on the life of Gideon, and tonight we will be continuing that. As you well know, as we've discussed, the people of Israel, the people of God of that day had forsaken the Lord. They had abandoned the Lord and begun to trust in other things, and they had begun to worship other things and pursue other things, other loves, and began to trust in their own strength, if you will. Because ultimately, when you say no to God, I don't need you anymore, or you try and take God along with you on your agenda, in essence, you're really saying, God, I'm trusting in my own strength, I'm trusting in my own plans, I'm choosing my own way instead of God's way. Does that make sense? And so that's what began to happen with the people here. And as a result, in the end, they found themselves in a very detrimental place. They found themselves in a place of weakness. Leanness came into their soul, according to the scripture. They found themselves in a place where they were unable to stand before their enemies. They were unable to stand before those things that were encroaching round about them, the nations and the enemies of the people of God that were encroaching round about them. And so in the end, they ended up being stripped of absolutely everything. When you begin to read Judges chapter 6, you find that they found themselves in a very difficult time. How many of you have ever found yourself in a difficult time before? Obviously, we all have. They found themselves in a very fearful time. How many of you have ever found yourself in a fearful time? They found themselves in a time when they didn't even know where their next meal was going to come from. And many today find themselves at that same particular point, facing, you know, joblessness or facing, you know, the possibility of losing their homes. So many have homes, they say, in the news have had to go into foreclosure because folks have lost their homes and are unable to pay their bills. So it's a very fearful time that they were living in. But yet today we are as well are living in a very fearful time. I think of so many. I think of the young lady who shared a wonderful testimony tonight of how she began to have to fight. She found herself drinking, if you will, found herself bound up with anger, trying to sedate herself. And so many today are doing the same thing. So many young people today are smoking weed. So many are drinking. So many are looking here and there for satisfaction, looking to something everywhere, anywhere to find something that will help them cope with what they're facing, cope with the anger. I remember being very angry growing up at home because in the home I was in, my parents did their best to love me, but I didn't feel love. I didn't feel love, so I grew up with a lot of anger. And I would bottle it up until one day somebody would come and it'd be the last straw. They'd push that button and it would all come out and I would explode. So many young people today and so many adults are facing the same thing. They face an hour of great difficulty and trial. They're carrying all types of baggage and they don't know what to do with that baggage. So many young people come in here with all types of stuff from their past and don't know what to do with that stuff. Well, these people found themselves in this difficult place, and finally, when they had tried everything else and exhausted every other resource, they finally decided to call on the Lord for help. And folks, that's not a bad thing. They began to cry out to God and ask God for help. They began to cry out to the Lord. And the Bible says that the Lord sent his word and he came down to deliver them. And it's amazing to me. You know, the Lord just comes with a word. He sends a prophet to speak to them and to tell them where they had veered off. You know, and the Lord will always do that. You know, when we go off track, and we cry out to him and say, God, help! How many have ever done that before? You just had enough. You're just tired. And you cry out. You finally come to the end of yourself. You don't know what else to do. Your back is up against a wall. And you finally say, God, help. And the Lord will come and he will show you where you veered off, where you took a detour, if you will, and where you began to handle things on your own. where you began to lean on your own understanding and your own strength. And so that's what God began to do. He sends a word to them and he begins to show them where they veered off. And then he just sends, he begins to come down in delivering power. The Bible tells us that the Lord sent a word and came down to deliver them. And his vessel of choice was an ordinary, fearful young man. This young man's name is Gideon. And he's an ordinary young man. He has no special skills or talent. He's just an ordinary guy. And he's trying to scratch out a living just like everyone else. And so the Bible says that God comes to this young man and begins to speak to him. And the Lord begins to call him. And the Bible says when the Lord came to him, chapter 6, verse 12, that the Lord appeared unto him and said, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Mighty hero, the Lord is with you. You know, when God looks at us, he begins to speak into our lives things that are not as though they were. He begins to call into existence by the word of his power things that never began, were existed in our life before. Just like in creation, you know, the Lord said, let there be light. And because of his word, creative power of his word, all of a sudden light came. The Lord began to speak. Let the trees of the field begin to multiply and multiply after one another and bear fruit with seeds that will begin to reproduce themselves. And so that came into existence. The Lord began to separate the sea from the land, the heavens from the earth. And he just began to speak these things, and things that did not exist all of a sudden come into existence. And so God begins to speak into this young man's life, and he calls him a mighty hero. He begins to speak what he is about to do through this young man's life into his life. And of course, Gideon doesn't see it. He's living in the here and now, and all he sees is what's happening around him, see. And so, but God continues to speak to him and says, the Lord is with you. And Gideon is a realist, and he looks around him and he says, well, if the Lord is with us, then what happened to all the miracles I heard about? What happened to all these miracles? So you see there, he's grown up in a home where he's heard about the Lord. He's had an experience in the house. He's been in the house of the Lord, if you will. Okay, so he's heard about the Lord all his life. And he says, if God, if you're with us, then why are we such a mess? What is going on in our nation that our nation has become such a mess? What is happening? So he begins to ask these questions. And the Lord begins to speak to him. And the Bible says that as God began to speak to him, the Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength you have and rescue Israel. This is verse 14. Go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. And so God places a call upon his life and begins to direct him and tell him, listen, Gideon, I have a special call. I've got a mission I want to fulfill in and through your life. I'm going to use you to effect change in your community. You're going to become a positive force in your community. I'm going to use you to effect change in your home, in your community. Wherever you go, I'm going to use you to effect change. And Gideon's blown away by this call of God on his life. And he says, how can I rescue Israel? Verse 15, my clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. I'm the youngest one in my house. God, how can you use me for your glory? I think of when the Lord first called me. I was the baby. I'm the baby in my house. How many of you are the youngest in your house? The youngest in your house. Okay. I'm the youngest in my house, and I'm thinking to myself, Lord, why me? Well, you know, I was also the worst one in the house. And the Lord wanted to show my family, if he can save me, he can save anybody. That it's going to take a miracle, you know, to turn me around. And he did that. And my parents were amazed. They thought it was a phase. They thought I was going through a phase, and they waited a week, and they waited a month, and then a year, and then 5 years, and then 10 years. Hallelujah. But the phase didn't go away. God continued to work in my life, and he made me a witness and a testimony to the point where he gave me the authority to now speak into their lives and to win them to Christ. To win both my parents to the Lord. Hallelujah. God is amazing. So God comes to this young man and begins to speak to him and begins to call him. And the Lord tells him in verse 16, it's not important whether you're the youngest one in your house, whether you're the weakest one in your house, what your background is, what your social status is, if you will. It doesn't matter what type of education you've had. It doesn't matter what type of background you've come from. I am with you. And that's all that matters. I am with you. And so the story is amazing. And he says, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. And Gideon replied, if you are truly going to help me, show me a sign and prove it. It is really the Lord speaking to me. Don't go away until I come back and bring an offering to you. So God, I want to worship you. I want to bring an offering to you. So don't go away. And you know what's amazing? The Lord speaks to him and says, I'll stay right here until you return. The humility of God, the God of the universe, the God of all creation, comes to him and says, I'm going to wait right here for you, Gideon. And so Gideon goes home and he prepares this offering, and the Bible says he began to place meat and unleavened bread in a pot. It says here he cooked a young goat, verse 19, and with a basket of flour baked some bread without yeast. Then carrying the meat in a basket and the broth in a pot, he brought them out and presented them to the angel under the great tree. And the angel of God said, place the meat and unleavened bread on this rock and pour the broth over it. And Gideon did as he was told. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the bread with the tip of his staff, and a fire flamed up out of the rock and consumed all he had brought to the Lord. And the angel of the Lord disappeared. And when Gideon realized it was the angel of the Lord, he cried out. Now, you have to understand, imagine this picture. He puts this offering on the thing. The angel touches this rock. The offering, a fire flames up, consumes the offering, and the angel disappears. And Gideon, it finally dawns on him. This is God speaking to me. And then all of a sudden he remembers the Old Testament. He remembers the law of Moses, where the law says, you know, that no one can see God and live, you know, basically. And so he all of a sudden becomes fearful. He says, oh my God, I'm going to die. He just got this calling, and now he thinks he's going to die. And but the Lord comes to him and comforts his heart and tells him, it says here, verse 22, when Gideon realized the angel of the Lord, he cried out. Verse 23, it's all right. The Lord replied, do not be afraid. You will not die. And Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and named it Yahweh Shalom, which means the Lord is peace. The Lord is peace. Then that night, God speaks to Gideon. And the Lord tells Gideon, this is what I want you to do. Take the second bull from your father's herd, the one that's 7 years old. So God gives him clear direction. And he says, pull down your father's altar to Baal. Pull down your father's altar to Baal. You see, Gideon grew up in a house where there was mixture. Somebody say mixture. He grew up in a house where there was mixture. There were two altars in his house. One altar was to Jehovah, the God who gave himself for the betterment of others, to help others, to save others, to rescue others. And then there was an altar to Baal, the God of prosperity, the God of self, the God of self-consumption. So there's two altars in his house. And he grows up in this house filled with mixture. Filled with mixture. And so the Lord tells him, I want you to tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole standing beside it and build an altar to the Lord your God, verse 26, here on this hilltop sanctuary, laying the stones carefully. In verse 27, the Bible says, then Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord had commanded. just as the Lord had commanded him. Now, many young people in this generation grow up in homes where there is mixture. And you too have to choose whom you will serve, who you will serve. Like Gideon, you'll have to make the break. You'll have to make a break. Tonight I want to talk to you about the worship of Baal. Let's look at the worship of Baal, the god of prosperity and self-consumption. What would that look like today? What would this type of altar look like today? Today, the mixture might be with an altar of compromise. For example, I think of a young man who used to come to this youth group, and he grew up in a home where it was normal for his dad to watch porn in the house. And there were porn magazines, porn videos, and it was there was access to it around the house, and it was normal. And that was the altar in his house. Some have an altar of perversion, where you're living what the Bible would call an immoral lifestyle. Others are living in sexual activity and have an altar. They're worshiping God, coming to the house of the Lord, but yet they're sexually active. Others are cheating on their taxes or cheating on some other thing, maybe cheating on exams or lying to your parents. And it's an altar of compromise. And so you come to the house of God and you lift your hands in worship, but yet you have this other altar of compromise. Some tonight, maybe the altar in your house was an overemphasis on education. The worship of human intellect, human reasoning, leaning on your own understanding. Now, there's obviously nothing wrong with getting an education, and you should. But your priorities have to be straight. I said your priorities have to be straight. God alone deserves your worship and trust. And I've known young people who, because of their studies and the pressure from home and their parents, they're taught that education is the most important thing. And again, I'm not negating that. And if you go home and tell your parents that Pastor P said you don't have to study, I will disown you. I'll disown knowing you. I'll deny I ever knew you. No. No, I'm just kidding. But you understand what I'm saying tonight. Where there's such an emphasis on this stuff where you neglect God and the Lord and prayer and seeking his face, and yet you're leaning on education and you think that's going to get you through life. Well, you have so many young people today who are well educated and they're unemployed. And they don't know what's going to, how they're going to see tomorrow. Many have had to move back in with their parents, pay off school loans, and folks, there's nothing wrong with that. But again, where is your confidence? Where's your trust tonight? And so we're talking about another altar. Are you with me tonight? And so that altar has to come down. You have to make a break. You have to set your priorities straight. Some grew up in a home where there is gambling, playing the lotto, Moneyball, Pick Six, and such like. Folks, I know what I'm talking about. I grew up in a home like that, where we would go to church, and my parents would gamble. And that was the altar in our house, one of the altars in our house, other than the altar of the Lord. Some tonight, maybe the altar in your house was an altar of pride. And I'm not just talking about looking down at others. But how about keeping everything private, so private, or in the family, and not addressing problems or issues that actually exist in the home, sweeping things under the rug as if they're not happening, with no ability to face or deal with reality? I think of a young woman who I spoke to who told me that her testimony about how it was in her house, that there was, culturally, it was taboo to talk about what was going on in the house, even though there was all types of a sense of abandonment, a pain, hurtful things being said, things being done, and yet you couldn't talk about this stuff. You couldn't talk about it. There was a pride issue, and no one outside the house, God forbid anyone outside the house were to find out. Where folks, you know, sometimes when there's pain, the best thing you can do is begin to talk to the Lord or talk to a counselor or talk to someone else and begin to share what's happened. For example, when there's been abuse. Are you with me? I said, are you with me tonight? The devil loves to work under the cover of darkness. And so if he can keep you in the dark, hiding, keep stuff in the closet, never dealing with stuff, then he's got you. And he will always have a stronghold. In other words, he'll always have a hand in your stuff, in your life. You'll never be able to overcome that past, that pain, that disappointment, that rejection, that one thing, that stuff that is holding you back from being all that God wants you and created you to be. Does that make sense tonight? Others, it might have been an altar where there was an incredible love for money. And that was the most important thing, making money. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And that was the focus in your house, and everything revolves around that. Others, maybe there was abuse. Physical abuse, sexual abuse, verbal abuse, emotional abuse, etc. So there would be the worship of God, but then yet abuse going on at home. A double life. Young people who I think who have been abused by those who they should have been able to trust, but yet, you know, they found themselves in this vulnerable position and being taken advantage of. I think of guys who beat up on their girlfriends and yet claim to believe in God. Or guys and girls who manipulate others for their own gain, in other words, to get what they want, and yet come to the house of God and will lift their hands and sing the songs of Zion, and yet they have another altar. How about the altar of being self-absorbed, consumed with your own life and stuff, unable to help those around you, just consumed with self and the drama going on in your own life? And folks, this is all of us. We all can have these altars in our lives. All of us have all kinds of altars we've grown up with. There's been mixture. But then there was the altar or the worship of Jehovah, the God who gave himself for the betterment of others. The Bible says in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. And that's the God you and I have come to tonight and who is in this place. He's a God who gives himself, who gave himself. Isaiah 53 talks about this God and how he gave himself and how he would bear our sorrows and our sins to the cross. It says, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence, speaking of Christ, like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Do you know Jesus was acquainted with every form of grief you and I could possibly experience or share? He suffered rejection as well, so he knew what it meant to be rejected. We turned our backs on him. We looked the other way. He was despised, and we did not care. Yet it was for our weaknesses. He carried our weaknesses. It was our sorrows that weighed him down, the scripture says. We thought his troubles were punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. Hallelujah. All this for you and I. While we were yet sinners, the Bible says Christ died for the ungodly. He died for us. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. So you have these two altars, the worship of Jehovah and the worship of Baal. Many young people grow up in homes where there is mixture, but you too will have to choose whom you will serve, who you will serve. You'll have to make the break. I was raised a Catholic, taught to believe in God. I went to church on the high holy days, but lived my life the way I wanted to. I didn't live according to the character and the nature of God, the God of the scriptures. Then I came to Christ, and I was born again. Born from above. A supernatural birth, spiritual birth took place. That's what the scripture calls it. Then God, the Holy Spirit, began to change my life and my perspective on life. He began to change everything, the way I see things, the way I act, the way I talk. Folks, we can't serve two masters. We can't serve God and something else. When we begin to walk with the Lord and worship him, we get to know his heart and why he came. Then we're invited to join him in his cause and in his work, the same way Gideon was. But how can two walk together unless they agree? They have to begin to go in the same direction and want the same things. Their desires and pursuits have to match. Does that make sense tonight? In the last days, the Bible tells us that men will be covetous. In other words, they will worship stuff, things, idols. They'll have idols. They'll have other altars. They'll be boasters, lovers of self, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, haters, disobedient to parents. Perilous days, the Bible speaks of. It says that the love of many would grow cold. Now, for your love to grow cold, that means at some point your love must have been hot or at least warm. But the scripture says the love of many will grow cold. Paul wrote and said that in the last days, believers will mind earthly things. In other words, their mind, their affections will be on the things of this earth and not on the things of God, not on the things of their master, not on the affairs of their master. Their God will be their belly, their appetite, what they can gain to satisfy themselves. Their focus will be on self-consumption, in other words. They will have another altar. Now, Gideon, when the Lord comes to him, he has this encounter with God. He thinks that he's going to die. He thinks it's over. His life is over. He's going to die. Sometimes we feel that way. Sometimes we feel the same way. We feel as if we're going to be at a loss or miss out or not enjoy life if we surrender everything to the Lord. Sometimes we're afraid to give everything to Jesus because of fear of the unknown. We wonder, what's going to happen if I give everything to him? If I surrender this to God, what's going to happen? But then Gideon discovered Yahweh Shalom. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. Or another translation puts it this way, the Lord send peace, sends peace. This masculine noun for peace originates from the word shalom, which means to be whole. It means to be sound. In other words, the God who brings wholeness to your life, who brings soundness. It means to be safe, the God who makes you safe. It means to be uninjured, unharmed. He's the one who comes and brings healing to your life and to the lives of others. It means to keep safe, to make secure, to be peaceful, to live in harmony. He's the God who comes to you and I, and he just wants to love on us. He just wants to walk on with us. Like Adam and Eve in the garden, he wants to restore us to right relationship with himself. So he's not come to harm us. He's come to heal us. This word means health, shalom. It means health. It means security. It means to be in a good condition. It means success. How many of you, and don't raise your hand tonight, but you know what it's like to fail over and over and over and to find yourself failing or feel like a failure. Well, this word means the Lord who sends success, who brings success. It means the Lord who brings comfort. No matter what your background is, no matter what you've experienced tonight, he's the Lord who brings comfort. The Lord who brings peace, which is the opposite of war. One scripture puts it this way, he makes wars to cease. He makes wars to cease. We're talking about wars without and wars within. I want to ask you tonight, what type of war are you facing in your life? Do you have a war going on in your life tonight? Sometimes when the Lord comes to us, we think he wants to harm us, when he really only wants to bless us, to heal us, to free us, to reveal himself to us, to use us for his glory. I think of the disciples who were once in a ship, and Jesus, they found themselves, they're being obedient to the Lord, and Jesus tells them to go on this ship and go to the other side, and they're going to the other side, and they find themselves in a storm. You remember the story? And while they're in this storm, they're rowing and doing everything they can, and they can't do anything. And finally, the Bible says Jesus comes to them walking on the water. And when they first saw him, they thought he was a ghost. They got afraid, and they began to scream. Imagine grown men screaming. They began to scream. They thought he was coming to harm them, when really all he was doing was coming to save them, to be with them, to speak peace into their storm. Right? Yahweh Shalom, Jehovah Shalom. Shalom clearly, according to The commentators depicts a satisfied condition, an unconcerned state of peacefulness. An unconcerned state. When was the last time you were unconcerned? An unconcerned state of peacefulness. I like that. He is the Prince of Peace, the scripture says in Isaiah 9. As the Messiah, he is destined to usher in a government of peace at some point in the future, but he will reign over all things. And his reign will be made known to all. He said, my peace I give you in John 14, 27, not as the world gives. In other words, there's a peace I give you that no matter what's going on around you, you'll have this peace within you and it will sustain you and it will see you through. Ephesians 2, 14 tells us, for the believer, Christ is our peace. But the Bible also says, there is no peace to the wicked. In other words, those who are not living for God, and might I say, for the benefit of others, have no true, lasting peace. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord who sends peace, has come tonight to help you. He's not come to harm you. He's here to help you. Would you bow your heads with me? There are young people here tonight that God is calling and he wants to use you for his glory. He has such an incredible plan. He says, I know the plans I have for you. Thoughts of good and not evil. Thoughts to give you a future and a hope. And to lead you, to bring you into an expected end, to bring you into fulfillment of the destiny I created you for. But you're here tonight and you have to make a break. You need to make a break. You've got two altars. The altar of Jehovah and another altar. And the Lord is saying tonight, you have to make a break. And I may not have mentioned the altar that's in your heart or in your life, but the Lord knows the altar. You know that altar, and the devil knows the altar. He knows the access, the open door that he has to your heart, to your life. And so tonight, I want to give an altar call for those who say, Pastor, I want God to use me. I want to be a Gideon in this generation, but I have to make a break. And I want to make a break. The Lord has come to help you. It's not by might nor by power. It's by his spirit that you will find the grace to say yes to God and no to everything else. If you say, Pastor, that's me. I need to make a break. Would you raise your hand tonight all over this place? I've got an altar that has to go. Would you pray for me? Raise your hand unashamedly all over this place tonight. And put your hand down. In a moment, we're going to stand, and I'm going to invite those who raise their hand to get out of your seat and come and join me at the front. If you're here tonight, maybe it's your first time. You've never been in this place before or in a church like this before, but you say, Pastor, everything I've heard tonight has spoken to my heart. And I'm tired of doing my own thing. I've had my own altar, an altar of self, where I've been on the throne. Christ has not been my king. I've been king of my life. I've been doing my own thing. And I want to give everything to Christ tonight. I want a fresh start. If that's you, would you raise your hand tonight? All over this place. Maybe you're here for the first time. And put your hand down. Okay, we're going to stand right now, quietly and reverently, and I want to invite everyone who raised their hand and everyone who didn't, who knows they need to be here at this altar, to get out of your seat and to come. Let's stand together all over this place. Some young people here tonight, your parents may have told you it's okay, and you grew up and it was okay, but it's not okay. If it's in violation of the word of God, it's not okay. It's not okay. It's not okay to date a non-unbeliever if your parents say it's okay. It's not okay. This is one of those times where you have to choose to obey God rather than man. Falsifying documents, important documents, is not okay. We talked about lying on taxes, about your taxes, but there are other things you can lie about. I remember as a young person at one point, even forging my parents' signature. And I wasn't a Christian, but well, I was raised a Catholic, and you know, but I had another altar, an altar of self, and I wasn't totally given to God. But when you come to Christ, that other altar has to go tonight, and you need to make the break. We're going to worship, and then we're going to pray together in Jesus' name. Thank you for your presence here tonight. Lord, we surrender everything to you. We've heard your marching orders tonight. You have to be Lord of everything. No other altar, no rival throne can survive. And so we come before you tonight and we yield ourselves to you and ask that you would be glorified. For your name's sake, take complete control. For your name's sake, take complete control. Take complete control. Take complete control. Take complete control tonight of our lives. We yield ourselves to you. Raise your hands to him. Raise both your hands to him as a sign of surrender and make that your prayer. Lord, I give you complete control. I surrender everything to you. Come on, talk to him tonight in your own words. Tell him, I surrender everything. I surrender my past, my present, my future. I surrender all my failures. I surrender all my shortcomings. I surrender all the pain. Lord, all the rejection, all the baggage. Every other altar, I surrender it to you. The lies, Lord, the captivities, the strongholds, everything I've looked to, everything I've trusted in. Lord, everything other than you I've depended on, I give to you tonight. I surrender it to you tonight. It has to go. Lord, tonight we make the break tonight. We make the break. We make the break. Lord, by the power of our God, we make the break tonight. Lord, it's not by man's power, not by man's might. It's by your spirit. Because of your grace that's come to us, because of your word that has come to us, tonight we choose to make the break. Lord, we take the exit. We take the exit, the Holy Ghost exit that has been presented to us tonight. We're out of here. Lord, we're going with Jesus. We're going with God. Lord, all the way. It's all the way, Lord. It's all the way, Lord. It's all the way tonight. No other altar, Lord. Jesus, we worship you. You gave yourself for the betterment of others. You gave yourself for us. You gave yourself for this world. You gave yourself for our family members, our communities, our co-workers, Lord, our classmates. You gave yourself for this whole generation. God, we give ourselves away to you. Lord, we ask that you would use us for your glory. Lord, make us representatives of you in this generation. Lord, make us mirror images of you in this generation. We would be like Jesus. We would be like Jesus. We would be like Jesus. We want to be more like you, Lord. Be magnified among us. Forgive us. Cleanse us, Lord, of everything that's unlike you tonight. Cleanse us. Ask him for cleansing tonight. Ask him to wash you. Hallelujah. Ask him to free you tonight. Ask him in your own words. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just take a moment. Just take a moment. Just talk to him. Talk to him in your own words. We're just going to take a minute or two. Just talk to him in your own words. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your voice all over this place tonight. Talk to him wherever you're at tonight. Hallelujah. 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 We thank you for freedom tonight. We thank you for liberty tonight, Lord. We thank you for healing tonight, Lord. Healing of pains of the past tonight. Lord, we speak healing into every life, healing to every broken heart. Healing tonight in the name of Jesus. Freedom in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hope in the name of Jesus. Lord, purpose for living in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is peace. The Lord is peace. The Lord who sends peace has come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We speak freedom, Lord, tonight. Hallelujah. We thank you that you are the God who makes wars to cease. We thank you that battles tonight with the flesh. Hallelujah. Lord, will cease tonight. There's victory in Jesus' name. We receive our victory. We receive our freedom in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There's healing in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We don't have to explain this thing. We don't know how it happens, but it's a miracle. Lord, if we could explain it, it wouldn't be a miracle. You do it because you said you would do it, oh God. And so we believe you. We take you at your word. Lord, we're not faking it tonight. We're faithing it. We're trusting in the God who cannot lie. Hallelujah. We're faithing it tonight, Lord. We're trusting in you and you alone. God, we magnify you. We glorify you. And we thank you in advance for what you're going to do. You speak things that are not as though they were, Lord. You call things that never existed into existence by the word of your power. God, and we thank you for that creative word tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We bless you. We exalt you and we honor you. We proclaim your word as a higher reality than any present circumstance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the great God and King. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God, we love you tonight. Thank you. You've not come to harm us, but to help us. We love you. Thank you for loving us so, Lord. We stand in absolute awe of you. You are wonderful. Hallelujah. Let's bless him tonight. I sense his wonderful presence here tonight, just brooding over us. The scripture says, as a mother hen broods over her chicks, so the Lord, hallelujah, over us. He's here tonight. Those of you who responded, how many are here for the very first time? By show of hands, very first time. God bless you. So glad you're here. Your life will never be the same. Hallelujah. Praise God.